Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Magazine Rack. I'm Jack.
I'm Ty.
It's Bill. I love it. It's so funny every time. I don't know what it is. Every time you start, you sound so formal. I'm like, it's good or whatever. It just makes me laugh for whatever reason. I think it's just because I've known you for so long that like you trying to sound like super formal about it is just funny.
Well, you got to start off professionally before everyone decides, oh, this is a dumb podcast. Yeah.
That helps a lot when your co-host is just like giggling like a schoolgirl. Oh, man. All right. So we're back. We're back in our new, in a new way. We're going to be doing this weekly from now on, which is great. We'll see how that goes. This week is going to be super busy because we actually have several things we're recording, which is awesome. I feel like we've been kind of in a weird buffer zone of like trying to get stuff done and connecting with potential guests and stuff like that in the last bit. So it'll be neat to get back to what we do, and a lot of work for me for editing and stuff, but it'll be fun. I'm excited. I love doing this because I get to talk with my friends and stuff and like spend time with them and stuff. And then afterwards I'm like, oh man, I got to go through all this crap and, you know, clean it up and make it presentable.
You gotta listen to yourself and you're that, like, oh,
that's
weird.
That's the worst part. I hate the way I sound on recording, or I don't hate it. I've come to terms with it. When I first started hearing myself at all via audio, I'm like, I don't sound like that, because like I always think of myself as like a weird, like, you know, you have a perspective of something else. Like I think I have like a slightly deeper voice than I do and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you hear yourself, I'm like, do I really?
Like, oh, I say that word that way?
Right.
Oh, ah.
Yeah, I am adamant that I don't have a Chicago accent until I hear myself back on like podcasts. And every time I'm like, oh my god, I really say it like that? Oh, how embarrassing.
I would say you're not that bad. You have, like, I think you have a couple words that are kind of like that. Like, Jack, I don't notice you're Chicago. I think there's a couple words that all of us might have a twinge.
I definitely do have a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, we all have that, like, twinge. Like, we say certain words and it's kind of like,
Yeah, I always make fun of my fiance because she pronounces it hat-tag, kind of. Like if she says it a couple times, I like pick up on it, and I always make fun of her for it. I'm like, hat-tag. She's like, I don't call it a hat-tag, I call it a hot dog. And I'm like, there it is.
Hat-tag. Yeah.
Yeah. But shall we hop into it?
Well, what have you guys been playing?
Ooh boy, I've been playing the game I've been waiting for. Persona 5 Strikers.
Strikers.
It's finally
the soccer one?
Yeah.
The soccer
Super
game.
Super Mario Persona Strikers. No, it's the Warriors Persona game, and I'm, as you know, I've made perfectly clear that I've been super excited for. I played some of the Japanese one before, and I loved it. I don't really care for the Warriors style games. Like, I think they're fine, but it's not really my thing. But I like this one a lot because it's not a Warriors game traditionally. It feels like...
it looks far from it.
Yeah, it's a Persona game with a new genre, like a new combat system, a new spin, you know? Where it takes elements of those Warriors games, but it's its own thing still. Not like Hyrule Warriors, where it's a Warriors game with a Zelda skin. This is a Persona game with a new style, and it, you know, I'm good about it. And it's, you know, it's a sequel to the base Persona 5, not Royal. So you won't see like Kasumi or the other characters that were introduced in Royal, but it's still super fun. Like I'm super enjoying it. I'm not like super duper far into it. I finished the first, totally not a palace, but they call them jails in this one. And you know, the idea is slightly different. Like they skewed the what it is a little bit, but it's basically the same kind of thing, and I'm super enjoying it. Like, I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying it, despite having like played it a little bit before. But I decided I was going to wait for the English version because I'm like, I really get a lot of enjoyment out of the story and out of the game itself, like that. So, super enjoying
That's
it.
Good to hear.
Yeah, they removed most of like the social interaction stuff. Like, you don't have social, like, you don't have social links really. You'll have like interactions with other characters, like. When you buy, you'll buy a new recipe because you do cooking a little bit. So you buy a new recipe and you, like, have the food with the people and you'll, like, increase this. You have a new meter called the Bond Meter And that's kind of like your social link a little bit more. And you, as you increase that by doing battles or other stuff, you get points. And you can use that to, like, increase everyone's attack or HP or things like that, and to different levels and increase those, or, like, get different perks. It's kind of like a perk system. And stuff like that. So it's definitely, you know, it's nowhere near as, like, deep as Persona 5 is. But for a spin-off sequel, I'm thoroughly enjoying my time with it. Bosses can be pretty hard if you're not prepared for it. Type of manages super matter, things like that. Like, it's not obviously one-to-one, but it's very different, but it's still super fun and pretty faithful to, like, the base of what it is.
That's cool. I am really tempted to get it and play it, but you guys are like, nah, you gotta play Persona 5 first.
I mean, yeah. You'll definitely, from what I've played of it, I feel like you'll appreciate it a lot more if you do. You don't have to.
Yeah, you gotta get up on the lore.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to, but I think you'll appreciate it more if you do, because, like I said, it's a Persona game with the warrior-style combat.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's good. And again, like, you don't have to. You can come over here sometime and try it if you want to just try the combat and stuff and see it for yourself. But yeah, it's good. It's weird because you get to play all the characters. Like, you can switch. Ooh. You can switch to, like, if you want to play Haru or Makoto or whoever. You have the option to do that when you're in the jails. When you're in, like, the map or whatever, like the not jail part. When you're in the different towns and stuff. Because you actually leave Tokyo and you go to different cities, which is pretty cool. And you go around as Joker on that part, but when you're in the jails, you can switch to whoever you want of all the entire cast, which is pretty cool. Oh, right, that's basically cool. Right from the start. After, like, the first little tutorial bit, you can choose. So it's cool. It's hard not to be Joker though, because he can switch his persona. And that is so good, obviously. So it's always hard to, like, not be that. But I'm, like, I've already, like, gotten all of his, like, they call it mastery, where it's, like, almost like a skill tree, but a linear skill tree. And I'm, like, I've already maxed this out. So I want to switch to the other ones, like, level them up more. But, like, every time I'm, like, well, I don't have the team member that I need for this, but Joker has that ability. So I'm, like, yeah, all right, well, I guess I'm him again.
Usually the main guy is always decked out with stuff. Like,
oh, really?
In the Hyrule Warriors games, Link is just good at everything. You always want to have Link in there because he's just so powerful.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I've been playing it a bunch. I'm really enjoying it. I also, I've been doing a little bit more, some indie games. I played a bunch of Cyber Shadow recently. I started that game Haven. Do you remember that one where it's, like, the two characters that are, like,
I'm going
around?
I'm interested in playing that.
It's interesting. I don't really have a formulated, like, how I feel about it yet. I've only, like, just started it, but I enjoyed the little bit I played of it. But, yeah, it's interesting. And I wanted to bring it up because I knew you were interested in that, Jack, so.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of them ever since they made Fury, so. They're not
right.
They don't
I
have
forgot.
A lot of games out, but they, you know, I love Fury. Fury is so good. So I'm hoping Haven's good too, because I really like the concept. I really like the themes they're going for, and the world just looks interesting. So
yeah, I've only done the first little bit, but the little bit I played, I was like, this is fun. Like, you're going around doing things. And it's like it's a neat concept. Like, the world itself is very, like, unique feeling and stuff, and I really dig that. And yeah, I think that's the main stuff I've been mainly playing, which, I mean, is enough. Plus, then our podcast game that we're playing for the next episode. I've been trying to wrap that up, and Triangle Strategy, which me and Ty have been playing a little bit, and we're probably gonna do a mini episode on.
Yeah, I need to put a little bit more time into it, but so far I'm really enjoying Triangle Strategy as well. I keep calling it Octopath Tactics.
I mean, that's basically what
and.
It is.
I still have an odd feeling that that's going to be, like, the final name. They're just going to say, like, screw it, Octopath.
They might as well. See,
yeah, like, it's...
I don't have any problem
with it. It's a close enough setting.
I like the combat of Octopath. That wasn't my issue. My issue was just how disjointed the story was in Octopath. And I'm It yeah. seems like they're going with a more proper story, from what I can tell so far. But that's how it felt with the original Octopath demo, where it's like, oh yeah, everything's gonna be like, it's eight separate stories, but they're all like, you know, stories instead of like kind of disjointed messes. And so I'm like, I'm cautiously optimistic from what I've seen with the Triangle Strategy. So
yeah, and I'm excited for our next main series episode. Is going to have a lot to do with Triangle Strategy, kind of. It's going to be game. Definitely in this. Yeah, it's tactics.
It's not Final Fantasy Tactics, like, though. It's Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
So the better one.
But I feel like
had a lot of people click off this podcast.
A lot of people are very much going to disagree with you on that one.
Yeah. But like, as I've been playing through the demo, I'm like actively kind of comparing it to it, and it has some like pluses and minuses. I'm excited to talk about it in much more detail.
Yeah, same. What about you guys? Sorry, I kind of steamrolled over that first little bit.
Yeah. How about you, Jake?
Well, I speed ran through the last story, which is our next game that we've been working on.
And finally.
I'll be recording soon. Really excited to talk about it because I had a fun time with it. But aside from that.
Oh boy.
I know, I've been hearing from you guys.
Yeah, I have
this is going to be that
Tales of the Abyss episode again.
That Tales of the Abyss episode where I like it and you guys don't. So
yeah, because like honestly,
I feel like it's getting there. But
this might be closer to our Chrono Cross episode because like I'm kind of like middle of the road on it. I have mixed feelings on it, but we'll talk about that more when we get to.
I need to finish it, so I'm not going to say anything yet.
Yeah,
but. Yeah. If you could see my face right now, it's very much scrunched up and like I want to say stuff, but I'm not.
Yeah. I think you saw me tweet about it, Bill. But like I remember I tweeted it, and I'm like I keep going between like absolutely hating this game and being like, oh, that's really clever and that's really cool and I'm enjoying this part. And there's like no in between. It's always just I'm having fun and I absolutely hate this.
I wouldn't say I'm having fun, but there is some neat stuff that I'm like I can appreciate this.
Yeah.
Well, there's a tease, everybody, for the episode to come.
there's the episode abbreviated, really.
TLDR. One middle. It's the usual. Yeah. It's our usual split at this point.
Yeah.
Where one person really likes it, the person who probably suggested it, the person who doesn't, and the person who's like, eh, it's fine.
Yeah.
We have a formula at this point.
Yeah, we really do.
Oh, goodness.
Aside from that, I've been going through Darksiders 3.
Oh.
And I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I do. I have this weird relationship with the Darksiders series where
can you explain a little bit about the Darksiders series? Yeah, I haven't really played much of them.
So Darksiders is a game that takes place during the apocalypse, and in each game you play as one of the four horsemen.
Is that what it's about? That's neat.
Yes. Yeah.
In the first game, you play as War, who shows up because he was called. He's like the four horsemen are called, but only he shows up for some reason. And everyone's like, hey, why did you show up? Because you being here triggers the apocalypse. And so everyone's mad at him, and he's like, hey, I'm just doing what I'm told. And then it turns out there's a whole conspiracy from different people who are playing different sides of the game, you know, the angels and the devils. Someone is manipulating it to look like the horsemen caused the apocalypse, and so there's a whole conspiracy and stuff going on.
Bro, we just showed up. What are you doing?
I'm just doing my job. And so War gets captured, and then he is 100 years later. He is allowed to prove his innocence and find the person who actually caused this whole thing to happen. In Darksiders 2, you play as Death, War's brother, and that takes place during War's imprisonment.
Bro, what do you want me to do? I just kill people. What? Yeah.
And so Death goes through and figures out a different part of the conspiracy and about the people, the Nephilim, or the race that him and the other horsemen are, and how they're being, I think they were being captured or abused or something, or destroyed. But he goes and tries to save them. In Darksiders 3, you play Fury, which is the the sister of the four. And
of course, Fury.
This one you're she's just trying to she's capturing the seven deadly sins and falling upon the other side of the conspiracy. Hmm. And it's taking place as well as during War's imprisonment, but after Death's actions.
Yeah.
Huh, so, that's pretty cool. I know very little. Like, I think I have a couple of them from, like, PS Plus or something, or on Steam. I can't remember. I have a couple of them somehow. And, because I think I got them in, like, a bundle or PS Plus or something.
Yeah.
And it always seemed interesting, but I just never took the opportunity to, like, download it and try it. But hearing you explain that, that sounds awesome. Like, yeah, I like so that as cool. a premise.
The story is very interesting, and it's really what's been keeping it alive. The creator's original goal was to make four games, the fourth game being Strife, which is Plague, I believe.
Sure.
We've seen him. He's been in the comics, and there's a new game called Darksiders Genesis, which is a top-down twin-stick shooter where you play Strife and War.
Interesting.
I haven't played that one yet. But looks interesting, and I heard it's pretty decent.
Hmm.
But the original idea was to have four Darksiders 1 through 4 as each of the horsemen, and then the fifth game would be a multiplayer co-op where you play as all of them.
That's sick.
Which hopefully, they have been selling well, so hopefully Darksiders 4 comes out, and then we can have the fifth game.
That's awesome.
Which would be all four of them, which would be really cool. But yeah, the lore is really interesting. The games themselves are also really interesting because they are different from each one. The first game with War is unabashedly a God of War wannabe game.
That's right.
It's
I remember
same
that.
Same kind of combat, same linear pathways and everything, and kill moves, all that. Like, it's God of War. Darksiders 2...
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. Darksiders 2 is more Zelda. In that it has dungeons and there's a field and like
I mean that's kind of cool that like each one has stuff. You know different like abilities and the way yeah. you operate and stuff is different
and so. Yeah and Darksiders 3 is like Dark Souls. It is you collect souls
right.
you die you leave souls you there's no map you just traverse.
What are they going to mimic in the fourth one?
There's shortcuts. I know and I'm interested to see what they're influenced by in this one.
Maybe it's a twin stick shooter.
Maybe. But there is some Metroid elements in there, and the fact that you get new abilities that unlock new pathways and stuff.
Yeah. Because I remember when the first one came out, people were kind of calling it Zelda-like. And then I saw other people kind of being like, it's kind of Metroidvania-y, it's like 3D, like it's...
Yeah, it's more Dark Souls. It's like it's got that same feel where like you unlock shortcuts. You just explore and find new areas.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's the second one is more Zelda, like where you have a whole dungeon and there's an item in the dungeon that gives you lets you go through the dungeon filled with puzzles, things like that.
Yeah.
Neat. I like it.
Yeah, but they're saying that Darksiders Genesis, the twin stick shooter, is like that Tomb Raiders of Osiris or whatever.
Yeah, Tomb of Osiris.
Yeah, it's like that is what people are saying. So like they're
that's hilarious.
That game. But yeah, it's been really fun. They're really cool games and I want more of them, but I wouldn't say they're amazing. They're yeah. like they don't hit you know amazing, but they're great. They're good.
Not everything has to be like
they're
the best thing
decent.
Ever.
Yeah,
it's enjoyable, right?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, that's what matters.
I'm liking it. I haven't finished it. I'm getting close to the end. I think I just have like two more sins to get. And then, yeah.
Sure.
It's fun. And it's also really interesting how they, what the sins are. Like, they have the, you know, the seven deadly sins, but how they're portrayed in this isn't what you think they would be portrayed as, but it makes sense based on the world. So, I that's what's really interesting to me in this one is just like finding out what the next guy is going to be like or how they're. Representing them.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Sick. Alright, Dad.
Well,
what about you?
For what I've been playing this up, so, because we're going straight into an ad right now.
So. Oh, are we? Oh, sure.
Oh.
sounds like a lot of fun, Ty. Playing ads.
What? There's ads?
Ads.
Where am I?
Heaven or hell?
I think
my new section of the day. My new section of the day is also the game I've been playing. And we got the Guilty Gear Strive beta occasionally. We got the Guilty Gear Strive beta. I've been up talking this game for like the last like four episodes.
You really have.
I really have. So I don't consider myself a big Guilty Gear fan. Like, I've generally enjoyed them, but I've never really taken them seriously. But like, I played Strive, and oh my god, is it so good. Like, I think I told you guys before, like, it's, they toned it down a little bit to make it easier, but there's still like a lot of complexity to it. But we got the beta, which was last weekend. It was Friday, Saturday, and it was supposed to end on Sunday, and then it got extended an additional day because there were some issues with the servers.
I like it when they do that, when they're like, hey, we screwed up, but we're extending it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people were having trouble getting online, so they're like, all right, one more day, don't worry about it. And then at the end of it, they also announced the final character coming into the game, which is a character named Ino. She's been in every single previous Guilty Gear game.
I also saw you tweet about that.
Yeah, I lost a $10 bet as I bet someone that the last character wouldn't be Ino, and I was wrong. I'm still kind of mad about that. Shout outs to Kana. But yeah, so we have our... Yeah, but we got our final character, you know, the character everyone was kind of hoping for. And the beta is really, really good. I've talked about rollback netcode on the podcast before, and they've completely implemented it. Online is like crispy, it's fine. There's videos of people playing in America against people in Japan with like no lag whatsoever. Like, it's nuts. Like, it's so nice just to see like all of it. It's all been going well. There's been tons of high level footage going around now because online is so nice. Like, oh boy, it's finally nice to have like a fighting game that is like 100% playable online.
Nice.
Yeah. But
when's the game otherwise actually released? Like, is there a release window?
Early April. I think it's April 2nd or April 3rd.
Okay.
This So this is, I'm glad because they put the beta out far enough to the point where they could fix issues, where it wouldn't be like a hot fix or anything like that. Like, they can look at the data and
it's
they can
long
look
enough
at everything
out,
that's happening.
But it's also not like right there.
yeah, exactly. And you know, people, when fighting game pros get their hand on a game, they're going to try to break it and they're going to try to see what they can do. And people found a bunch of weird glitches. Someone found a way to just like flash bomb the screen. There's been like three or four infinites that people have found that are somewhere between like, oh, that's really tight and really hard to do, to, oh, it looks silly as hell, and it's just like hitting a person into a wall, like, infinitely.
Love it.
And there's been some people kind of talking about balance and whatever, but the game largely is very balanced. I did the same friend that I lost a bet to, I did, I think, a first to 15 with, and it was amazing.
Nice.
It's so much fun.
Nice.
This the same guys that did Dragon Ball Z Fighters?
Yeah, FighterZ, yeah.
Is it?
Arc System
right.
Works,
right.
Yeah.
I always forget, like, who does what, and, like, yeah. I forgot that was them.
If it's an anime fighter, 9 times out of 10 Arc System worked at it. They did Blaze Blue, Guilty Gear, obviously.
They've come a FighterZ. Long way. Like, their stuff used to be
have.
Like, oh, it's cool. Now it's like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, like Blaze Blue, or they're still keeping Blaze Blue in like that 2D sprite style, and I appreciate
that.
Like, the 2D sprites look nice, but like,
I feel like
Guilty
it's
Gear Strive, it is, but with Strive, like, Strive is like fully 3D, but it has like a 2D,
what's
it like, self shading
3D thing, right? Kind of like Fighters.
Yeah, like Fighters, where it looks very 2D, but then you have like these swooping camera angles where you can see that it's fully 3D and stuff, and it is stunning.
It's
2D. Every character
playing 3D environment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's stunning. It looks beautiful. The graphics are like, I don't even care about graphics that much. Thank you. Wow. I don't care about graphics that much, but like, the game looks stunning. And I'm also
not care about it, but still like be like, hey, thank you.
Yeah. It's nice to see stuff like looks pretty. I main Naga Ryuki, who's a black vampire samurai. Thank you. And he's just so much fun to play. And just everything about the game is ridiculous. The everything's very
vampire
fun.
Vampire samurai. All right.
Vampire. Yeah, vampire samurai. Like, but yeah, the whole game's amazing. I highly recommend it. Sadly, the beta's already over. Okay. But if you can try it out, I highly encourage you to. It's a lot of fun, especially if you like fighting games or if you're just getting into them.
Choice.
Yeah.
Nice, man. I mean, that like you've been hyping it up for a while. I gotta check it out. Like, I gotta look at it now because you've brought it up so much, and like you keep talking about it. I'm like, you know what? That sounds cool.
Yeah, I tried getting into the lore of Guilty Gear, and I don't recommend that because the lore is completely and utterly messed up. It's like across like five different games. One of them was like a top-down MOBA RTS weird thing. Or no, it was a third-person MOBA RTS.
Honestly, I'll watch the trailer, but I'll probably just stick to keep playing Cross Tag Battle.
Yeah.
That was the last fighting game I cared about at all because there's Persona characters in it.
Oh yeah.
And
no, there are
good.
There has been rumors that we're gonna eventually get a Persona 5 Arena Ultimax.
Yep, there's been rumors for that for a while. And I want that. I only got to play a little bit of the Persona 4 Arena Ultimax / Persona 4 Arena whatever. And it was fun. I mean, like it was what it was, but it was fun.
Yeah, it's an anime fighter. It's definitely an anime fighter.
Oh, for sure. But
yeah. So if you
really
like,
liked what they did with Cross Tag Battle. Like it feels good to play. So
yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh no. I was gonna say like you know it's an anime fighter. It's got instant air dashes and stuff. Persona 4 Arena, I mean.
Yeah.
And Strive is a bit heavier. It's kind of moving away from that, but there's certain characters that are like combo monsters that still have instant air dashes and loops and all that crazy stuff.
I had a couple people over before playing Cross Tag Battle, like, you know, however long ago it was, pre-COVID and everything else. I think fairly early on to the game's life cycle, like, not like right away, but early on. And and this is people who, like, don't play fighting. I don't play fighting games, but I had somebody in the same room.
Yeah.
Well, what's the guy that, like, takes up, like, half the screen?
Oh, he's from Uniel, if I remember correctly. Are you talking about the guy with large arms or the guy with a very long arm?
Oh, I don't know. Either one. But there's like the one guy that like takes up like, or one of the guys that take up majority of the screen. They're like, what the hell did you just do?
Are you talking about the tank?
Maybe. I don't know.
They did put in a character who's just outright a tank.
Oh,
like,
really?
It takes up like the better part of the screen.
Yeah,
I believe that was Cross Tag Battle.
It might be. I don't know. Either way, it's just hilarious. You're like, you don't expect that, because you're like, you're playing most of these like smaller, like normal sized, like, you know, high school kids or other characters, like normal sized people, you know, and you're like, bop.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
It's great. Oh god, you need to see Potemkin in Strive. He's huge. He takes up like a quarter of the screen by himself. He's hilarious.
Excellent. I love those, just like the random like what.
Yeah,
that's my favorite when you see was it Mugen or whatever, where it has like the randomized characters.
Mugen,
yeah,
Mugen. Whatever you want. In Mugen.
Yeah, I love that because every once in a while you're like, what am I looking at here?
yeah, you find the characters that are like mini games almost, and they're like just ridiculous.
Can I beat this?
So broken,
no.
Like Hamtaro, who just made characters nonstop.
I forgot.
Yeah, there was still to this day my favorite Mugen character is Omega Tom Hanks. Yeah, it's like a little character with Tom Hanks' face, like Tom Hanks' like photorealistic face on him. And as soon as the fight starts, he doesn't have a hitbox, so you can't hit him. And then all of his movies just like come out from like random directions of the screen. It's very funny.
That's one thing I miss about going to the shop Eric works at or worked at or whatever. Because like you guys just have
they put
Salty Bet on all the time while we're playing cards, and we look over once in a while. It's like what?
Yeah,
and it's excellent.
Why is the alien queen fighting Ryu from Street Fighter with a gun? Like,
right, but like that times like 10.
yeah,
it's excellent.
My favorite that I've seen was it was a black and white Ronald McDonald where.
Oh
all
yeah,
his
yeah.
Moves
yeah.
were just insane.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
I know the one you're talking about.
Screen tearing things like.
Yeah, that's actually
you'd lose
the Ronald McDonald is a palette swap of Dio Brando. usually. They keep the keep the animations and then they like change everything.
That explains so much. That's why he has those
poses. I get it now. That makes it even better.
Excellent.
It really does.
I love it. I love it so much. Yeah. Choice.
But what's our next topic?
We have another topic.
Well, there's a couple things.
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah, not yesterday. 2 days ago was Jet Set Radio Futures anniversary. Was it the 20th anniversary or the 19th anniversary from the first from when it was first released in Japan?
Mm-hmm. I think 20th.
Either way, it was long enough. It's been a long time, and man, that game is so good. It is so good.
Right.
Yeah. Like I love Jet Set Radio / Jet Grind Radio, whatever you want to call it. But I think I like Future a little bit more. I think the music's a little bit better and everything else.
Future lets you just roam around as much as you want. When Jet Grind Radio lets you
it's have more a mission time based, limit, yeah,
and it's a mission thing. And you have to stop to do the graffiti.
Well, not always. Future. It depends what you're doing. If it was like a big graffiti thing, you did it. Otherwise, you you could grind and do other stuff while it was.
Yeah, Future just let you go. Let you just have fun and just kept that momentum going.
Well, I mean, Grind Radio was a Dreamcast game originally, so it makes sense why it was that format.
Right.
Yeah. I think by the way, you were right. Better. It's 19 years old yesterday. Yeah. Jet Set Radio Future is, at least.
Yeah. I think everyone was saying that it was 20, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
But for those who don't know, you should check out Jet Set Radio Future because it may be a cult classic.
Or Jet Set Radio in general, if you're not familiar with it.
Just check out Jet Set Radio because it's such a great series and it's so fun. There's a reason why we're bringing it up.
Yeah,
because
it's
such a great game.
All you have to do is listen to the music. If you like the music, you'll want to play the game. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, even like just the setting is interesting. It's a futuristic Tokyo. You're just some kids that like to skate and graffiti. Like, that's so much fun.
And it's like, it's the cel-shaded too, where it's just like really like hyper visual, especially for like the time like the original one came out. And Future is like an addition on, it feels like. And then you got like I said, the music is amazing. Hideki
Kamiya?
No. Naganuma, who did the music, is amazing. Also, if you're ever on Twitter, check out his Twitter, because it just reads like him going crazy. he talks about like PogChamp and Big Chungus and everything else.
Amazing.
Like constantly. Oh. It looks like somebody going through like a mental breakdown, and it's amazing.
Hideki Naganuma.
Yeah. It's like Big Chungus versus Femboy Chungus.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah.
The internet has corrupted him. It's hilarious. I actually just recently started following him.
It's wild. It's wild. If you just want to go into a black hole of like, what is this person doing?
That's amazing.
I love him. I love him. I love him. Both what he's created and just how crazy he is at this point. It's great.
Yeah, wait, really quick. He just tweeted out 4 hours ago, I am not a madman, I am a Chungus guy.
Yeah, like, it's stuff like that. Fantastic. I highly suggest it. If you want weirdness, follow him. We should at him and see if he'll come onto our show.
Someone asked him what he was saying, and he said, sorry, I sometimes speak the language of the gods.
Yeah, he says that all the time, and people are like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just being me, bro.
Oh,
I never stop pogging. Oh my god,
it's excellent. If you have a couple of minutes, I highly suggest it.
His Twitter is CEO of Funky Fresh Beats.
Yeah, he is that. He is that. He's also the CEO of Boobs, I think it was.
He said that he knows the CEO of Fat Tits.
He said, "I know a minister of Fat Tits too."
That's it. Yeah.
It's so weird, and I love it.
He said 4 hours ago in all caps, just enjoy my tweets.
I love him,
man. Just enjoy his tweets. I love it.
he also tweeted earlier, gladly I'm horny again.
Comma.
Right.
Gladly, comma. I'm horny again.
It's you, babe. Yeah. Either way, if you want to see a spiral into madness, Hideki. Naganuma on Twitter. Otherwise, just enjoy his music. It's on Spotify and a bunch of other places, so it's excellent. I love it. It's one of my favorite just soundtracks ever. So,
oh, I love this.
Yeah. That was my thing. I don't really have any major stories this week. I was trying to remember what it was, and I can't. And Jack, you had a couple of things. You want to talk about some of the direct stuff, right?
No.
Oh. There's oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that. I remember what you're talking about now.
I mean, for you guys, it was
Triangle Strategy, which we already talked about.
The only interesting thing, I guess, for me that I got from the direct was, just I guess a Smash character. I'm not mad that Pyra and Mithra got in Smash because I like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and they look like a fun character. But I would have preferred someone not them.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I think most people felt like that. I'm like, I don't know who they're catering to, because like, people like Xenoblade Chronicles 2 fine, but like, I don't think it needed the character in Smash.
Nah, they didn't.
Because like, it's popular in Japan, but I don't think it's even I don't think it's popular enough to warrant a Smash roster. I think it was just somebody that they could add in without maybe breaking the bank.
Because they're done with the game. They're not doing another DLC or anything. So like,
what do you mean?
Like, normally they Xenoblade. Put a character in for
I'm like, there's more DLC coming to Smash.
Yeah.
Like the Fire Emblem characters, they got put in because their games were coming out.
It makes sense. Like, yeah. Byleth made sense to me. Because I'm like, it's very, like, Fire Emblem, besides being popular in general, this was, like, a hyper-popular one in both the West and the East. So, like, it made sense why it was in there.
Yeah.
Plus, the Pyra.
A fun character in Smash. I really like
Oh, really?
Byleth.
I haven't played her yet. I haven't played anything past Joker, I don't think, so it's been a while.
Yeah,
I should download it, or I should play it again, to play Sephi.
Yeah, I just recently, I bought the season pass, or the second season pass, so I could play Sephiroth, and I wanted to do it so I could play with, like, my nieces and, you know, my younger cousins and whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, like, I felt like this was kind of a waste of money, but, you know, maybe the next character will be really cool. And it's like a Xenoblade character. I'm like, maybe the next character will be really cool.
We got two more.
I didn't think that, like, think of how big the last one was, right? Sephiroth, right?
Oh, yeah. Huge,
so
yeah.
I feel like a lot of these, you know, because that couldn't have been cheap. That couldn't have been cheap to get him in, right?
Nah.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to, like, curb your expectations a bit, because this is what, the second fighter pass, right? Or third?
Yeah, second.
So what was the first ones on the fighter pass, right, that they've done
this fighter pass? Min Steve,
okay, so
and then Sephiroth.
Steve, that was a big one, right? Like, not for us, but like, as a character, it was also through Microsoft, which is also big.
I think Sephiroth. Steve was a very
right
yeah
So, like, even if we're not into it, it's like, that's a big deal. And then Sephiroth was also a big deal. You can't expect every single one to be just knock it out of the park, because just there's only a certain amount of budget they can spend, right? And that, like, you have to curb it somewhere. So that's three. So the fourth one was Pyra, right? And so number five could be big. But I you know, Min was an in-house IP plus that. That's two in-house IPs. Plus those two. So, like, the next one could be something big or something kind of obscure, I think. I don't think it's big. I think it's obscure. Because we had two big ones. Not necessarily for us, but big in general.
Well, like, if you look at Challenger Pass 1, the first one was Joker. And then Hero. Banjo-Kazooie, which was huge. And then Terry, which was the obscure one. And then Byleth was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they're, it looks like they're kind of going that route.
It's a similar route, right? But, and none of these would be, I would say, obscure, I don't think. But, so I think it could still
Terry
be obscure.
Terry was definitely obscure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. At least for, like, the general public.
Yeah, South America really likes Terry, so that was really good for them.
Yeah, they also go regionally. Like, some characters are just big in wherever they are, and so, like, it's important for that representation, if you will.
Right. But you need to curb your hype for the final character, because the final character and the last one was Byleth, so it might not be so hype.
Like, well, it seems like it's been in a different order. So I think we could see an obscure character or something, like, maybe something older? I don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff it could be.
Yeah. Yeah, like there were tons of like I always check Twitter when any of these things happen, obviously, because I love seeing people either suggest a character that has like 0% chance of getting in, someone being like this NPC from Super Mario JRPG needs to be in here, or Super Mario RPG, or like
Do
they need to put in Ridley 2, or like something like that.
know?
Like you
Right.
see these ridiculous requests, and then
I think
yeah,
Ridley
there's
2 would be Goku because
yeah.
Sakurai has already said no, Goku's not going to be in it. Just
Damn.
like he said Ridley's not going to be in it. So.
Yeah.
Yo, give me
But
Goku.
like
I'm in.
I see so many of those, and then you see some like very realistic suggestions. Like a lot of people are it's supposedly quote unquote leaked that what was the character? Crash Bandicoot was gonna be the next character,
I
and
mean,
then
I feel
that
like
didn't
that's a. I feel
happen.
like that would be. The thing is you can guess whoever you want, but there's characters that are just going to be more likely than others. Like,
People, yeah,
yeah.
it was leaked, quote unquote leaked, that Doom guy was going to be a character too.
Yeah, I
Right.
was gonna say
We've
that.
had so many different ones over the years. Like, at one point there was Master Chief, at one point there was somebody else. Like, whatever. Like, you don't know until it's been announced, and like that's just what it is. It's fun to speculate to an extent, but like you also have to be like, all right, well, what's the track record, right? We have two really big ones for this Fighter Pass, two in-house ones, kind of big, some of them. So like, I think we have a good chance of either obscure or something. It really just depends on how much they spend on Sephiroth, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's more likely to be obscure than it is to be big. But I think it could be either one. I don't know if they do another like, at least like main core in-house one for the last one, especially how disappointed a lot of people were with Pyra. So.
Yeah.
Though, well, it was always my argument for Terry, because a lot of people are upset about Terry because they're like, I've never heard of him, nobody's ever heard of him, blah, blah, blah. Is Terry's from King of Fighters, which I'm going to dig back into my FGC knowledge for a second.
Terry's a
People
big
call
deal.
King of Fighters, they call King of Fighters the soccer of fighting games, where it's hugely popular like across the world, but America just doesn't play it. Like nobody in America cares about it, but it's super popular everywhere else. So when people were saying like, "Oh, Terry isn't iconic enough," it's like, no, he's iconic enough. He's just not
Just
iconic
not in
enough here.
America.
That's what I call that, like, America biases, basically. Where it's like, just because it's not big to you or where you are, doesn't mean it's not a big deal.
Right, like that's what happened with Hero. Hero was is
Right,
Dragon Quest,
exactly.
and Japan flipped out that Hero was
Dragon
there.
Quest is Dragon Quest. Like it's the granddaddy of JRPGs, and like if you date back to like yeah, like it doesn't matter when. Dragon Quest has kind of always been big in Japan. Like when we were there, they had a bunch of Dragon Quest stuff. Like,
Yeah, it's just on the buildings as you walk down the street. It's just.
It was such a like. Remember how like Pokemon was such a big deal out here, where there's stuff like everywhere for a while, for like when we were growing up and stuff. It had a similar effect with Dragon Quest back in the day, where like you couldn't find those games when they first came out and stuff because it's been sold out everywhere and stuff. Like the early Dragon Quest games was like a cultural phenomenon. It was such a big deal. And like you know we have more people accepting of JRPGs and stuff, but like back then we weren't into it. That's why like they skipped so many Final Fantasy games out here and so much other stuff. Like we just didn't pick up on them the way the Japanese did, and that's why a lot of like early games were like, oh no, it's too complicated for American audiences. But yeah, Dragon Quest was like a big deal, and like for them to get that is huge, in my opinion at least. And Dragon Quest 11 is super fun, the bit that I played of it. So
And I still think it's very funny that the two characters that were revealed during that direct, that was Hero and Banjo-Kazooie, had like these
Three
exact opposite
characters.
reactions across the
A
world.
hundred
There was a third
percent.
character?
Banjo and Kazooie. I
I
hate
hate
you so much.
boo.
And
I
then
hate
there's
you so much.
also, what, four different heroes. So that's
Oh, that's true.
seven. There's
Quiet
no,
Jax.
seven different heroes.
Characters.
Quiet
But
you.
jo terrible jokes aside, like the thing is like when we got Banjo-Kazooie, America was like, "Oh my God, it's Banjo-Kazooie." Like, "Oh my God, like my like N64 dream is coming to life." And people in Japan were like, "Oh, that's kind of cool. I don't know much about that
I
character."
don't know. I saw a lot of reaction videos of Japanese people freaking out more over Banjo-Kazooie than
Really?
Dragon Quest.
Well, I
Oh,
mean,
that
there's always going to
surprises
be people
me.
on both sides of the factor, I think. Like, and also you have to go into the. I feel like old JRPG fans are going to be more excited about Hero than like some. Like, people around our age, especially. Like, a lot more of those people are going to be like, yo, N64 Banjo-Kazooie, let's go! It doesn't matter where you are, you know? There's a little bit more cultural differences where more people are going to be excited in Japan or wherever about Hero. It's all always going to be one. Like, there's people out here. I was excited about Hero. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I really liked 11, you know?
Yeah.
So just to say that, like, you can say it, but, like, it doesn't... There's always going to be people fighting against that factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but general statistics or whatever will be more skewed one way or the other, generally. But it's hype. And then you had... What was the game that you were trying to talk about, Jack? Like, the actual topic?
Well, there was three things I wanted to touch base on real quick. I know you, Bill, you've played some VR stuff. I don't know about you, Ty, but I'm really into VR, and I have a PSVR, and they just announced PSVR 2 coming to the PS5.
And well, we got the first update. They announced it initially with the PS5, I think, did they?
I don't think so. It was never really confirmed. They just said they were, you know, look forward to VR things in the future. They never confirmed that they were going to be doing a new headset or anything.
I thought they did, games. But whatever.
But they finally said that they're going to be doing that and to expect more games and news coming soon. But they like officially announced it on their blog. Super exciting. It's going to be using one cord instead of like, what, two, three that they had.
However many. It was a decent
It's going to
amount.
Utilize the new controller, which is neat.
Yeah.
It's going to be some cool stuff, especially with the power that this PS5 can produce. We're going to see
everything's
looking games.
I'm excited because they're going to update like the headset being quality wise.
Yeah. Oh yeah, cuz this other one's bulky.
It's bulky. Also the like actual like screen is kind of like, this is okay, but it's clearly not like, you know, if I'm using my QLED TV, there's definitely a big difference, you know, between the two. I'm like, well, I'd rather be on my good TV that's also gigantic instead of being in my VR headset that looks gigantic but looks like crap. It's neat for the VR games you're playing because you're immersed, but like if you're doing anything else besides like a VR-built game, it's still... And even then, it's still kind of like... It's dated. It's not like old, but it's definitely dated. Like, you look at the Oculus Quest or whatever nowadays, and it's like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah,
it's a big difference.
I'm just hoping that Resident Evil 8 gets an update to do the VR version, because that was a big thing with the original VR, was that Resident Evil 7 was exclusively VR on PlayStation.
I would assume that it would, considering how well received that was.
Yeah, because that was a huge seller, and it actually boosted sales for the PSVR.
It seems. I feel like it seems likely, considering, and it looks like it's running on a very similar like system. So I would expect that.
It's the same
that.
Kind of gameplay and all that. So I would love to see that happen. They haven't said anything about VR with Resident Evil 8. I think they were waiting for this announcement.
They surprise announced it for 7 too. So it's very likely that they're going to follow the same path where it's like, oh yeah, or they'll release it and then afterwards like, oh yeah, now it's fully compatible or whatever.
Right.
It could be we're waiting for more details on the second one or things like that. There's a lot of factors that could be in play that we don't know.
Yeah, looking forward to the future. Another thing I want to talk about.
Wait, really quick.
Oh, okay, go
really
ahead.
Quick. I'm getting a PS5 soon, and this is actually a really good excuse for me to actually get into VR, because I've like messed around with other people's a little bit, but I never really played. So my question, so you said like Resident Evil 8 might be it, right?
Might be.
Seven had it, so I would assume 8 could do it.
I would say it's more likely than not, but I feel like they're gonna hide it until they're ready to, you know, actually demo it or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kind of wondering, or rather, I'm kind of like thinking out loud. Lady Dimitrescu in VR. And how much people are gonna freak out?
Oh, no, Jack. Right. Jack, you misspoke. You meant, oh yes.
Oh yes. You're right.
Dimitrescu. Hey, Dimitrescu. God, I still need to play the Dimitrescu. Oh God.
Dimitrescu.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Time for me to pick up a VR headset.
Sorry. Look, if you want to sell me something.
Never mind. That's gonna push sales for the PSVR 2 for sure. Oh my god.
Oh yeah. They would if they literally just packaged Resident Evil 8 with the VR system and charged people $500, people would take that up in a second.
They would. Bunch of pervs.
Yes. That is, welcome to the internet. Where everyone's a pervert and angry or spiraling out of control. Or the CEO of Funky Fresh Beats and Boobs. You could be the CEO of Boobs on the internet.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the second one. Your second topic.
I don't know if you guys played this back in the day, but Twisted Metal is a favorite series of mine. It is getting a TV show. And it's the writer, Will Arnett is writing, who's the guy who did Deadpool and Cobra Kai.
Wait, did you say Will Arnett?
Will Arnett.
Like,
no.
Joe Bluth?
TV series from Deadpool Duo and Cobra Kai writer and Will Arnett.
Okay, I was going to say, that doesn't sound right.
Yes. Will Arnett is going to be in it.
Yeah. That's what I remember reading.
Reese and Paul Wernick. Yeah. And Michael Jonathan Smith, Cobra Kai writer. Yeah, that was just worded weirdly titled.
Yes,
it's going to be getting a TV show, which just seems really neat. I'm a little hesitant just because of the kind of game it is. But they have a description of what the series is going to be like, which is an action comedy that follows a motor mouth outsider offered a chance at a better life, but only if he can successfully deliver a mysterious package across a post-apocalyptic wasteland. With the help of a trigger-happy car thief, he'll face savage marauders driving vehicles of destruction and other dangers of the open road, including a deranged clown who drives an all-too-familiar ice cream truck. That sounds neat.
I'm another thing where I'm like cautiously optimistic about. I'm like, this sounds like it could be cool, but I think it's going to be one of those things where it's like, it has elements of Twisted Metal, but it's not Twisted Metal at all. Like, it's one of those, it's movie-fied Twisted Metal where it's like, cool, but it's not the thing.
I'm also worried about
budget. It's not what us fans want it to be, is what it's going to be.
Which would be very hard to do as a TV show, I think.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, it's a TV show, which is even weirder. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Mad Max Fury Road is what comes to mind when you with that description, and that needed a huge budget to do the kind of amazing stuff with the cars that they did. I'm worried this one might just be too CGI and not have real cars as much as Mad Max did. I just don't think it'll have the budget for a Mad Max type TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see, I guess. It's a weird one. But Sony's coming out with a bunch of stuff. They got Uncharted. They got Twisted Metal. They got... I don't even remember what all. They've announced a bunch of stuff. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just like Twisted Metal.
Yep, Tomb Raider's also getting a sequel.
Sorry, go ahead, Ty.
Like, the big thing is, like, comparing, like, Uncharted and, like, Lara Croft and stuff like that to Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal isn't exactly lore heavy.
Way out of the ballpark that it could
be. Not really.
It's like making...
It changes every time.
Yeah, it's like making a Mario Party movie. It's like, you don't. There's not a lot there to mess with. You don't have exactly a deep story to dig into. So I don't know
how dark it's gonna go, because Black was really dark, and the new
Black is really dark.
Twisted Metal Black was very dark in terms of themes and lore and story. Really dark. And then they went and continued that with the Twisted Metal for the PS3, the reboot.
Yeah.
They use the same kind of characters and story. But the original ones were a bit more goofy and just campy, which is perfect for the Deadpool and Cobra Kai writers. They can do campy, which is what I'm hoping this is going to be.
Yeah.
I think this could be a lot of different things. I'm excited to see what they do. Again, cautiously optimistic.
Yes, right.
Because we've seen stuff kind of shit the bed more than once with video game related like content.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different medium, and a lot of people try and take it, it's who do you cater to, right? Do you cater to fans, do you cater to other stuff? Like, there's always gonna be people who enjoy it despite it being one way or the other. Like take because again, I'm a comic book guy. Take almost any comic book related show ever, right? There's the people who are like, this is inaccurate and it's trash. And there's always going to be another, you know, two or three people are like, oh, no, it's great. You know? So Teen like
Titans yeah. comes to mind.
It doesn't matter what it is. There's gonna be fans on both sides.
Yeah,
it's always gonna be a split. Like I hated Titans on the DC whatever streaming service they had, and like I could barely sit through it. I think there's of the 10 episodes or whatever I watched or whatever the first season count was, there's like two that I liked. And I'm like, they should just cut everybody, made it a Nightwing show and call it a day. The guy who played Nightwing was fine. Everything else was pretty trash. The only episodes that I actually enjoyed fully were the ones that like didn't have the Titans in them, basically everybody else. So like, take that as you will. I heard it got better later, but they had the backdoor pilot for Doom Patrol, which is like seeing a lot of success and stuff though. So, you know, it's a mix.
Yeah.
And what's your third one, Jack?
The last thing I want to talk about was, for those of you who don't know, Star Fox Adventures wasn't originally a Star Fox game.
Star Fox?
Yeah.
Star Fox Temperatures. Yeah, it was originally called Dinosaur Planet, where it was a guy named Saber, who was a fox, and there was a girl named Crystal, who was also a fox, a blue fox, and they were trying to save this dinosaur planet. Miyamoto saw that and was like, you know what, we got a fox, let's put Star Fox on there, we'll just call it a Star Fox game and throw in some Star Fox shooting bits that don't mean anything and are really short. And so they did that, and instead of this crazy big ambitious project that Rare was going to do, they made this Star Fox game, which I do like Star Fox Adventures for what it is. I thought it was really fun. But after seeing what Rare wanted to do, they were gonna do. It was a two sides of one story where you play half the game as Saber and then the other half is Crystal. Which the Star Fox game was just Star Fox and Crystal was trapped in a crystal. But it sounded really ambitious, really interesting.
So goofy.
I know, right? And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because Dinosaur Planet has been released because someone found a ROM of it back in the 64 days, because it was originally a 64 game instead of a GameCube game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, wasn't it like 80% done or something? Like,
yeah, it was so close to being finished, and then they slapped Star Fox on it and cut all sorts of stuff. And unfortunately, this version, which was dated, I think like December of like 2000 something, but basically back when it was done, and it was kind of far into development, and Star Fox has replaced Saber, and they took out the crystal stuff from what people have been like. It's apparently not really,
it's good. More towards a beta of the Star Fox game, like it's the middle point kind
yeah
of thing.
Okay. And it's not running very well on emulators. You can kind of do it, but there's a lot of things that aren't showing up and it crashes and stuff. But apparently it runs perfectly on flash carts. So
it's running on their actual hardware. And
right. And so people are going through it. And from the footage people have seen, it's like that. It's mostly just Star Fox and not as Crystal. But it's 64. And it's got the 64 graphics and all that. So it's got the same voice acting. So they had that. But they keep talking to him as Saber, which is interesting. So it wasn't completely done over.
Yeah, it was like a beta build probably to see like, well, we could do this.
Yeah.
I it's always so interesting when stuff like this comes up from, you know, maybe from data mines or other stuff. It's always so interesting because like this is a piece of history that we haven't ever seen before.
We weren't supposed to.
It's a process. Exactly. It's so cool.
It's
so like,
interesting.
See that. Like I've been loving all the from those data mines, which again, I'm not condoning data mines or anything, but it's always super interesting to see like those like early Pokemon ones where it's like, this is what it used to look like. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, seeing cut Pokemon that didn't make it, but in the game. Like that's so neat.
It's wild.
Yeah, like game design is just such a rigorous process, and there's so many things that just get like cut and like nobody ever knows about. So I am happy that we're like kind of in this age where like there's so much information where we can learn like about those cut Pokemon, where we could find this build and stuff.
Well, back then we didn't have like, that. Like now, like if you look at say Persona, because we brought it up earlier, there's art books and stuff like that where you have concept art in it. You actually they document it way better than they used to. before it was like, yeah, there's probably some guys somewhere with it, you know, and there's a couple early builds. That's it, you know.
Last year there was the Luigi and Super Mario 64 thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which was super cool. Right. Like,
and it's so wild, man. I love finding out like what the processes were and stuff. It's so cool.
If you guys are interested in that kind of stuff, there's these amazing websites that just completely document everything. There's one, it's called The Cutting Room Floor.
Another we mentioned one, it a couple episodes ago,
yep.
I think.
Yeah, we mentioned that last episode.
There's Unseen 64, and then there's one, yeah. Hidden Palace. And those three are all great sites that have so much information on games that you've played and or haven't even heard of. It's so interesting just to explore like stuff of like beta builds or information or data mines of things that you've played and be like, whoa, that was gonna be in the game. That's so right. Cool.
Yeah. My favorite is there were beta levels left in Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And like the beta levels were like crazy and they were huge and they looked like amazing. But they're like virtually empty. And then there was also Mario's Wacky World, which was supposed to be on the CDI.
I remember hearing about
that game. That's another game that's just like crazy.
Yeah, man. Also CDI. Woof.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's so crazy how much of the game that they were able to get out and stuff. That's super cool. That's it for. I mean, I don't really have any much else to talk about. What about you guys?
That's about it for me.
I'm good.
Excellent. I want to remind everybody that, you know, we just started a blog recently. We've been trying to do at least one post a week. Those usually end up dropping around Friday. And yeah, you can see new content from us. We each one of us have been taking turns writing something. I have, I think my episode's coming up next, or post is coming up next. It's actually not mine. It's my friend who's writing it. Our friend, both me and Ty's friend, from Card Games,
man.
Emmanuel. That should be coming up this week, and I have another episode, another post already written. And then we have Jack and Ty who've been writing stuff. And yep. It's been cool. I've been enjoying writing. I haven't written. I think I mentioned in one of my like a post on my actual like Facebook, being like I haven't written anything outside of like D&D modules in something like a decade. Like it's so weird, like exercising these tools I learned, you know, in school and stuff, where it's like, oh yeah, this is how you write stuff. I'm still terrible at it, so I appreciate anybody who actually read through my rambling.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do remind you that there are blog posts at least once a week, or at least we're trying to be once a week. And just a regular thank you for listening and continuing to support us. You know,
also, if you'd like to, you know, talk about what we, you know, post or, you know, our podcast, just jump in the comments and on our posts on the Facebook page. We'd love to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah, on any of our platforms, feel free to, you know, you can message us, contact us however you want. We have people who, you know, we have a bunch of posts, or not posts, but we have spots open on the blog for guest writing. So you're more than welcome to reach out to us and do a post. You're more than welcome to reach out to us if you want to be on, you know, an episode of like a side quest or something. Just reach out. We're easy.
Yeah.
Ty, were you about to say something?
Oh, I was going to say our website also has a ask function. And I'm the one filtering through those. If you have any other comments or ideas, I posted my thing, What Were They Thinking?, where I go over questionable game design choices. And if you have any that you want me to look at, feel free to just throw them into our ask box or put them on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Most of the socials, those guys check the Facebook ones. I check everything else basically. So feel free to message us and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And again, like we said, thank you. All right. Well, that's about it. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Doctor.
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 All right.
This was Bill.
This is Ty.
And I'm Jack. And that was the magazine rack.
So formal. Goodbye.
Special thanks for this episode go out to Baron Von Future for the music, Ian Harris 24/7 for the original designs for our logo, and I guess myself for editing this episode. So we'll see you next time on the Magazine Rack. Thank you for your continued listenership. We appreciate it.